30 minutes of her speaking to us and taking us through this subject of parenting and motherhood, but also we have another 30 minutes where we'll be taking questions and answers. And those of you following online, you can put them in the chat box. We should be able to get them as the media is helping us. And for those of you in the room, obviously we'll be asking you either to raise your hands and be able to ask those questions. So without further ado, I would like to call upon Mrs. Sarah Kalifungwa to take us through this session. Mrs. Kalifungwa.
Must be afternoon now, right? Good afternoon, everyone. So my stress levels are very high. Good to have some older friends. Some I consider my friends who are older. They've been parenting older children as well. So I'm sure during the question and answer session, help me answer some of those questions. So our theme for this conference is that in whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, we should do all to the glory of God. And in this session in particular, we're going to look at parenting in a way that is going to glorify God as well. So there's parenting and parenting and parenting, but there's parenting that brings glory to God. And I have a lot of information to share, so I hope not to share 30 minutes will be sufficient. Hopefully we can go to 40, and then you give me 20 minutes. And I would like to back up with whatever I'm teaching with scripture so that you can have an answer. Okay, so that you are able to look back. So I'll be giving you some extra scriptures so that you can go and read at home. But I'll let us to read 4 scriptures. And whatever I'm going to be talking about will be latching on all those scriptures. The first one is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. We'll just read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 to 9. So Proverbs 1. So perhaps Natasha, can you help me read some of those so that audible? But we can begin with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, and I'll read that. Okay, so Proverbs 1, verse 8 reads, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." And verse 9 reads, "For there will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Then let's read Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to begin from verse 1. There's so much to learn from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it reads, Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9. "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And it goes on and on. So we can, at your own time, you can go and read through all this chapter in Deuteronomy. The next one is Proverbs 22, verse 6. We spend a lot of time, of course, in Proverbs. So Proverbs 22, verse 6. and another one will be Proverbs 4, verse 23. But we'll begin with Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And it reads, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 4, we go down to Proverbs 4, verse 23. And it reads, Proverbs 4, verse 23. It reads, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So those are some of the scriptures that we'll be looking at, and more as I go on. Now, most of you have heard or read these scriptures, and but I'm not too sure to what extent you've actually applied what you have read or heard. And the doctrine it contains appears scarcely known. The duty it puts before us seems fearfully seldom practiced by the people that God has called to be his children. Now, this is an exhortation concerns almost everyone in every household. And this includes teachers, maybe uncles, aunts, sisters, grandparents. And so this exhortation is to all of us. And I'd like to begin with just looking at when you're thinking about parenting, and this is really beginning from the beginning, okay? You've just gotten married, maybe as you're getting married, there's always a discussion about children. How many would you like to have? Now, that is just humanly speaking, your desire. Ultimately, God has the end wish, isn't it? So he'll give you the gender that he thinks you can handle, how many children that he thinks you can handle, and so forth and so on. So, of course, this calls for careful planning. Now, what I've observed is that a lot of us are good at planning in terms of spacing the children. Okay, so you have a child, you're thinking, okay, the next 2 years I must have another one. So we pay a lot of attention to family planning and when the next child should be born and things like that. A lot of us, actually what we miss is planning on how you're going to parent these children, what resources you're going to use, and what you'll be teaching. There's very little planning on that. So it's almost like by default to get married, you have a child, you continue like normal. You don't care, it's like there's no planning who's going to raise this child, how you're going to do it. The children just come and life goes on as usual. Also, there is a lot of, you need to pay a lot of attention, careful attention, to short-term and long-term goals. Yeah, and I'll be talking about that. There are short-term goals, there are long-term goals that you need to be thinking about. And of course, as you are doing this, as we've been looking at these scriptures, you're asking, what is it that the Lord is telling me to do? And what is it that I'm supposed to achieve? What is it I'm supposed to be achieving as you are parenting your children? And what you need is a careful understanding of whom you are parenting. Okay, that is very important. You need to know your audience. Who are these children? And that will also help you in terms of tailoring your teaching. Okay, because if you don't know who you're teaching, it's very unlikely that you're going to achieve your goal. Okay, obviously, you know that you're dealing with sinful children who are born in sin. But also, you need to pay attention as to whether these children are boys or girls. There's a difference in parenting girls and a difference in parenting girl children. Your parent, there's a general parenting, but there's also specific parenting. To specific groups of these children, understanding the role of the heart. We read that from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Okay, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows issues of life. So what you are dealing with is heart issues. in a sense, you need to be thinking about how are you going to be this spiritual center in terms of shepherding the children. So there must be understanding, there must be learning. And I like Hannah's disposition today, where she's come before she gets married, she wants to understand these things, because you need to know. You don't just have children. And it's like, you know what I'm talking with little learning. You're going to make a big mistake. So it's important to understand that you need these resources. You need to understand what you're doing. And therefore, you're going to tailor your teaching. You're going to account your timing and all these things, you know, to what is happening. But if that is, this thinking is not there, the chances are that you're already missing about maybe 25% of what you're supposed to be doing. Okay. Perhaps at this point in time, I can just maybe mention a few things before I go into detail. So here you are, you're planning, have children, God blesses you with children, and you're thinking, how am I going to teach this child? And then you're asking yourself, what is my goal? Is this child a girl? Is this child a boy? Okay, just out of interest. So you have a boy child, and what is it? You need to be asking the person, what is it that God wants this child to be? Okay, a man. So in terms of long-term goal, you're thinking, you want him to be a godly man. That's what God is saying, isn't it? A man who's going to worship God, a man who's going to hear God, a man who's going to know and live out these commands. Okay? So a grown man who fears the Lord. So if you're going to raise a man, you're also going to be thinking, what is he going to be? Okay? Most likely he's going to be a husband. So what kind of husband would you like to have? Okay? What kind of husband would you like his boy to be? What kind of a worker in terms of his career would you really want him to be? What kind of a churchman would you like him to be? Okay. As a leader in a home, he's going to get married. He's going to be a leader who's going to teach his children. He's going to be leading his household in the church. I'm sure you want him maybe to have an student elder. You want him to be a godly man, a man who is going to be leading, shepherding, and things like that. Women don't take eldership roles. Men do. And we want as many godly men as possible to take up that role. Okay? In terms of career, what kind of a worker do you want him to be? Of course, a man who can be trusted, a man who can have dominion, a man who can really serve God in his career, wherever he is. It's about glorifying him. Okay, remember what we read. Whatever he does, okay, must be, whether eating or drinking, it must be to the glory of God. And this is the kind of man you are thinking you're going to be. And so when I was talking about the differences, you're going to be, what is that you think you're going to be pushing for a boy child? You're going to be pushing certain things, general things, about biblical teaching, about domestic performance, but you're also going to be pushing a lot of theological teaching, a doctrine, giving him perhaps responsibilities, and you're directing him in a particular way. A girl child, what is he likely to be? A wife, most likely. The majority of people are married, I think. Or a parent, maybe a career woman. So if you're thinking about raising a girl child, you're thinking, of course, she must fear the Lord, so there must be biblical teaching, general biblical teaching of scripture. There must also be general teaching, but also, if you're thinking about this woman is going to run a home, she's going to be a mother, you're also teaching a lot about domestic workers. She must be a homemaker, according to Titus chapter 2. So what are some of the things you're going to be pushing? You're going to be pushing domestic more than that you're pushing that with the boys. And as I'm talking about, they need to learn to cook, they need to learn to clean, they need to learn just those things, because they're going to be parents. They need to learn just how to manage and to make sure that they're keeping the house. Can you push that for a man? You can. They can cook, right? But will they be there all the time to manage the home? God expects you to be the one managing the home. And whether you like it or not, both of you are out there. you'll be thinking more about how are they going to be eating? How are the children doing? Men may not be thinking the same way. Okay. For them, their agenda is different. So even when you come home, you go to the kitchen, looking at the children, what's going on. The men may do that, but maybe not. That's not what God has given them to do. So you need to be thinking about empowering these girls to make sure that they are competent in that way, but also honoring the Lord as they're doing whatever they're doing. So this is really just giving you a long term. Okay, so you're thinking about this man, this woman, long term. This is what you want her to be. Okay, godly woman, godly mother, godly wife, things like that. And then, of course, now you begin short-term training. They are young. You begin with where they are at. Okay, as a grown-up woman, she can make her bed, she can clean everything, but she begins by being a two-month-old, three-month-old, and a year-old. So, what are some of the things that you begin to do? You do all these things, short-term, small things. Okay, make your bed. It may not be perfect, but they are making that bed anyway. And then, of course, they develop. So this is really just for you to understand. Now, if you don't, as a mother, you're just having children and you have no thinking about long-term goal of what you want to achieve, what is it that God, even when God chooses us, God saves us, he has an end. Okay? He has an end, okay? So he passes through all these motions of regeneration, conversion, justification, all these things, sanctification, to achieve the certain end. Mm-hmm. So God has got a goal. So it begins small, and we need to think like God, with an agenda, but also with a goal in mind. And then you begin now to plan, how am I going to achieve that goal? And what are some of the things I'm going to implement in order to achieve that goal? So you sit down and you begin to think. You need to pray. You need now to go down to work. Okay. So I hope that helps a little bit. Mm-hmm. And of course, it calls for discipline on your part to implement your plan. And you know, if you don't have there's a plan, there's a goal, and you need to have a discipline. What happens if you know you're going to get to a certain goal, and you don't implement this plan, you can be sure that it won't happen. The children will grow. Whether you have done something with them or not, they grow in stature. They grow. The question is, what have they grown up to be? Okay, what is it that they've developed? What is it that they've really come to learn? Everyone grows. I'm telling you, everyone grows with things in their heads and also a lot of skills. And thirdly, it calls for serious intentional practice of what you set yourself to do, and also the recognition that it takes a lot of work and sacrifice. Okay, and a lot of sacrifice. There's no way you can bring in these children, and God is telling you to shepherd them in a particular way, and you don't have time, and you don't have a plan, and you don't have the resources or the material that you're going to think you're going to use. Obviously, you're going to get it. Going to get it all. So it explains why, you know, even as a mother, there are times when, because you want to raise them in a particular way, and especially as a mother, you are the one who's going to be there, that there are times when you may have to sacrifice. Most of you have done that. Sacrifice your time, maybe get to leave, you know, because you want to really pay attention to this parenting. Now, this is a serious thing. I don't know how many of you take parenting, whether it's for you, it's a serious thing or not. For me, it's been like a serious thing. Okay, and I think when you pay attention to what God is saying, you should be able to see the seriousness of this thing. Okay. Now, the next thing that I want us to look at is, why must you endeavor to parent biblically? Okay, there's parenting and parenting and parenting, but why biblically? Why is it that you need to do it the Deuteronomy way? And firstly, it is so that you can introduce and teach them about the one true God. Remember what Deuteronomy says. Okay. So when you are saved from Egypt, you go to this land, teach them this thing, that there is one true God. And you must save him. You must save him with all your heart, with all your strength. So there's an introduction Okay, that is the first thing. So if you're a Christian woman, a godly woman, that must be uppermost on your mind. You want to introduce your children to God. Okay, this one true God. There are so many gods, right? But you want to introduce them to this one true God. And the recognition also that all of us are born as worshippers. There's no one who is an atheist. Okay? They also believe in something. Okay? Atheism itself is a religion. Okay? So there's no one who is not a worshipper. God has put eternity in our hearts, and therefore we are worshippers. The question is, who are your children going to worship? Is it this one true God who is your God or someone else? Because whether you like it or not, if you don't introduce them to this God, they'll find someone else to worship. Okay, and according to Romans chapter 1, from verse 21 to 23, you can write it down. They're going to worship crafted things. Okay, their own imagination. Okay, there's so much that your children are going to end up worshiping. So your call from what God is telling you, according to Deuteronomy, is that you need to introduce them to this one true God. There's only one true God. And that is very important. But secondly, what you need to remember, according, let's read Psalm 53, verse 3. I think this is very important for us to read. Psalm 58, rather, verse 3. Some scriptures, I'm just going to quote them, because you may know some of these have a lot of scriptures. So, but Psalm 58, verse 3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. This must be your motivation, okay? Because you know from the day they are born, these people are estranged. They look beautiful, you know, they are charming, but they are enemies of God. Okay, they are born in sin. According to Psalm 51, despite in my mother's womb, I was conceived, you know, as a sinner. And in Proverbs 4:23, we read that it says, you know, we must watch our hearts with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. And according to Matthew 15:18-19, it talks about the fact that what we eat is not what defiles us, but it's what comes out of the heart of man. Okay, so the heart is an issue there. And of course, according to Jeremiah 17:9-10, it talks about the fact that the heart is highly deceitful. Highly deceitful. So you're dealing with a deceit baby, okay? So, and that knowledge will make you shudder, okay? You, at this point in time as a parent, you know what it is to be a sinner. You know what it is to spend eternity in hell. You know what it is to have God save you. Okay? You know what it is. And you cannot have this child estranged from birth, and the sinner separated from God, and you treat it like there's nothing. You know what I'm talking about? It's life as usual. You can't. You are dealing with someone with an eternal soul. You're not dealing with the furniture. You're not dealing with an animal. You're dealing with a soul. And therefore, you will pay attention. And this will make you cry. It's amazing how, you know, before you get married, you don't have children. We get married, you have children. We don't have children, we cry. But when these children come, it's like there's no... don't think much about what this is about, okay? And sometimes that is, it's very sad, okay? And so the soul of your child is the first thing that you need to consider. And in such a way that, you know, whatever things you are doing, so whatever step you take about them, every plan you have about them, every scheme or arrangement concerning your children, you need to ask the question, will their souls be affected? Because you see, because remember they're worshippers, every shaping influence of your child is going to have an influence on them. The heart is, the mind is absorbing. You understand what I'm talking about? So you need to ask, who is going to parent this child? Who else is going to help you parent this child? Which school are you going to take these children to? Okay? Which school will you take them to? Which homes will they spend time in? And many other things. It's sad, isn't it? But sometimes you can understand a woman with this kind of knowledge. But when you think about who are going to be the children to help your parent in this way is that you can get a godless maid and you are leaving that child the whole day with them. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Perhaps it's so you need to be asking, and I guess it will also change the way that you're choosing your maids. And they must be Christians, maybe. Go for someone who is really a believer because they're going to achieve your goal, help you achieve your goal. To get someone else who has no idea about what God has saved them from and hoping that you're going to achieve this goal is a lie, I'm telling you. You're just cheating yourself and you'll never achieve that end. Okay? So it must help you to think about which schools are they going to? Which friends do they have? Okay, and it's your duty as parents. You want to achieve this goal, you choose friends for them. Even the homes they go to, it doesn't matter whether it's Christian homes. You need to be very careful which homes they still go to. Because some homes, though they're Christian, they don't have this agenda. They don't have this concern that you're talking about. So it's your responsibility as a parent to make these decisions for your children because you want to achieve a certain goal. Okay, so all of the decisions you're going to make is going to be tailored according to your understanding of what the Bible teaches about your responsibility, about what the Bible teaches about who your children are. So this is your audience that you are dealing with. You can't just deal with them like if they are five, they will just rise up and they become this godly man that you want them to be. And thirdly, you need to, of course, God instructs us to train them biblically. This is God's teaching. Okay, so according to Ephesians chapter 1, you know, to 4, maybe we can read that Ephesians text to read the other text. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. It begins by saying, firstly to the children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So the Lord commands you actually to bring them up in the biblical way. And so, understanding this is going to help you to remember that anything else that is not biblically based is not going to achieve the bringing up of this man or this woman. It can't happen. Okay, it will be more like this given to them, but it won't achieve your goal. Okay, so of course, with this, you need to teach them the knowledge of the Bible. And we know that the entire knowledge of the Bible is the foundation of all clear views of religion. Okay? So the Bible is the foundation for you. Okay? There may be other books, story books that are going to read, but it must not supersede the Bible. Okay, so we are going to teach the Bible. What does the Bible teach? Okay. And you know that anyone who is grounded in scripture would be a laborer. You know that as an older person, as an older Christian godly woman. Okay? And it will be the same for children. Even when, because the Bible has been so instilled in them about who God is, what is expected of them, is that wherever they are, even if they are not converted, they are going to be conscious of what God is calling them to be. And it's very important that you can also use the catechisms, okay? Because the catechisms also have biblical proof. So if you ask the person, who made you? God made me. Prove it. So initially you have the catechisms which may not have a proof text, but as they grow older, they must have proof text. When is it written that God made you? Okay? Well, what else did God make? Okay, everything. Prove it. Which Bible verse does teach you that God made you, made all things? Okay, so you go to those Genesis texts, you know, and things like that. So catechisms, yeah, I hope all of you have catechisms in your homes. Or that if you don't have, at least there are bookshops, you can look for catechisms and go through it yourself. You know, reading stories, biblical stories, more than, what are these children's stories? Yeah, Harry Potter and many other stories. If you are looking for superheroes, there are superheroes in the scriptures. Read those kind of stories to them, and they will grow up with those early impressions about the power of God in the lives of these people. Superheroes of our days, I mean, where do they get their power from? I'm sure you can guess, right? But, you know, so it's important that that you are reading God's word, because the Bible has actually instructed you to teach your children and to build them up using his word. And of course, because they are sinful, they need the gospel, don't they? They need the gospel. They need to be saved. So, how are these people who are straight from death, how are they going to be delivered from that sin? How are they going to be friends of God? Okay, they need the gospel. Okay, and according to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we are told that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. It's a gospel which is the power of God. It's nothing else. It's not psychology that is going to save your children when they are manifesting with sin. Never. That can never affect the heart. God has decided or has planned that it's through the gospel of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that man is going to be saved. Okay, and so because you know these children read the gospel, and the gospel is found in the Bible, you're going to preach it to them, and you're going to show them according to what the Bible teaches. Because we know that they've all, even they have fallen short of the glory of God. So because they need the gospel, your parenting will be biblical best. So there's nothing like, no, don't worry, you'll be fine. Oh, just don't do that. You're asking yourself, what is it that they need? Okay, and this is very important, because sometimes when you're parenting, you can just have this attitude of touch and go, okay, touch and go, and you're missing a lot of opportunities for the gospel. Okay, and I'll give you an example. For instance, a child wakes up in the night and they're afraid; they don't want to sleep on their own, and they are telling you, "But I'm afraid." And you're thinking, but you know, just go back to sleep, or you make room for them in your room. You can already miss an opportunity for the gospel. Okay? Because if you're thinking biblically, and if you're thinking about who this child is, you need to be asking, what is it that they're afraid? And why are they afraid? Okay? So if you ask the person, you know, to this child, especially a child that you share the gospel with, they'll tell you that they're afraid to die. That's why they're afraid of this thing that is in the room. And that is an opportunity for you to actually preach the gospel. That with the gospel of God, they can experience peace. Okay? Because there will be no need for fear. So little opportunities like that. Okay? A child, you know, says something that is not contrary to what the Bible teaches, or they manifest with a lie or selfishness. It's an opportunity. It's like they don't want to share toys. And sometimes it's a way we solve the problem like this. There are two children playing with toys, and the others wants the toy of the other child. And what is your solution? Just share. You need to share. Well, this one had it first. So let it be. If you're thinking about who these children are, what are you seeing? Sin. What sins are you seeing there? Selfishness. Pride. Okay? And you must not just see a problem in one person who wants the joy of the other. Why is it the other one not giving? He's also selfish. The problem is on the both of them. And you need to sit them down, and you can say, you know why you're struggling to share? It's because your heart is sinful. Your heart is bad. And that's why you're struggling, and you need God to change your heart. And it will make it better. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, okay, there are these actions, the mouth speaks, okay? And when you understand heart issues, as a spiritual surgeon, in this case as a mother, you will address all those things that you are seeing from the heart, and you're addressing it, and you're bringing the gospel to bear, okay? So it is that kind of experience. And of course, quickly, it is the right way to parent, because the Bible says, teach the children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. There's a way children must go. Okay, and there's a way the children would go. That's what that text that we read in Proverbs talks about. Okay, train them in the way they should go. So this is the right way. The Masakam, the biblical way of teaching, is the best way, because you're not sure that there's a right way that you need to teach them. And you need to just trust God and do that. Okay? And the Bible promises us when they grow up, it's not me who even says it. But I believe that, you know, when I do my best, you know, well, even when they've grown old, even if they're not believers now, okay, they'll remember what they've learned. Okay? You trust God. You do your best first, and you leave the rest, you know, to God. So there is a way that these children will go. And remember, folly is bound up in the heart of these children, isn't it? We've already looked at the fact that they're sinners, so you can get that from Proverbs 32, verse 15. Okay, so this is the right way. Okay, and let's look at some of the things that you need to be doing now as you parent now these children. We'll establish the reason why. There's this motivation now. You understand that your audience and whatever. So what is it that you need to plan, how to plan to parent God's way? Now, the first thing that you need to do is to, hopefully, you need to have been shepherded this way yourself. Is it possible? Not likely. But because you become a Christian, remember this is about godly parenting. We are talking about the Christian parent. Is that by the fact that God has saved you, God has put His Spirit in you, and God has given you His Word, that the Lord is now dealing with you and helping you to be sanctified. Okay? So hopefully you have been shepherded by God. God is your shepherd. God is helping you to overcome your own sins. And at this point in time, you should be able to manifest grace yourself. And I'll go to how God parents us later. But you should be able to manifest some grace to deal with a sinful child. Okay? And it calls for you to manifest tenderness, affection, patience, kindness. And sometimes it looks like it's an automatic thing when you have children that you naturally be kind to them. It doesn't work like that. Maybe when they haven't begun to talk, maybe you can be more patient. But when they begin to talk and begin to challenge you, I'm telling you, how many of you have kindness is shown through the words that you speak. You can now begin to be harsh. Okay, kind, you know, and things like that. We need God's grace, you know, to show kindness. And the only kindness is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So you need to be able to display, in short, the fruit of the Spirit as found in Galatians chapter 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to, you know, 23. So I just want us to read Galatians, because this is very important. This is what you must be. If you are going to parent biblically, this is what you must be. Because we need to parent like God. God is the master shepherd. Okay, He shepherds us, His children. And we take our shepherding after Him. Okay? Now, because you've experienced God's grace, the hope is that you're also shepherding your children like God. Okay, like Christ. Okay? But what is it that you need to display or manifest as a parent is Galatians 5 verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is unconditional love. Not loving your children when they are doing nice things to you. What happened when now they challenge you and sin against you? Okay. You need to love like God, because you're going to experience that. You need to have joy. In bad times, good times, you're displaying this joy. Okay? Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness in parenting, gentleness, self-control. But sometimes you lose control. And it shows itself in the way that you respond, just boom, boom, you know, not controlled, not calculated, not planned. And the Bible says against such there is no law. And another time, before you even become a parent, one of the things I teach young marrieds, and one of the burdens I have is that hopefully, but when they just immediately get married, I want to sit back with them so that I can teach them some of these things. Okay? Firstly, now they're self-managing. Now you have to manage yourself in relation to your husband. Okay? And you need to love him. And you need to do your duty as a wife before these children come. And when the children have come, you need to deal with yourself. Firstly, your philosophies. Okay? What kind of philosophy do you have on parenting? On what a Christian home must look like? And whether you like it or not, all of us come into marriage with all the shaping influences that you went through, the schools you went to, the parents you grew up under. Okay? These things have shaped you. That curriculum, the school curriculum you've got you, it shaped you. Okay? So a lot of us come with these traditional ways of parenting. We come with feministic ideas about parenting. I'll have it my way, the children will come, but I'm going to conquer the world. You know what I'm talking about? It's feminism. And I can tell you, if not all of you here, you still think the same, you still are. Because this thing is big and it's rubbed on us. To a point where many of us don't even think biblically. We think feministically, we think traditionally, we think about in the way that we've been shepherded. And you need to sit down and ask yourself, how was I shaped? Is my thinking in line with biblical teaching? Even some of the things that you are taught before you get married. Okay? You need to question those things are taught. This is what a woman ought to be. Is it were they biblically based or not? Now, if you are not biblically grounded or a person who really reads the Bible, these things can ruin you. Okay, do you understand that? Okay? Because a marriage is a good thing. What makes marriage miserable? And maybe sometimes you find yourself in a case where now you are sheepishly, is because of sin. Not sin from outside, sin from within you, and sin from your husband. And these things that these expectations that you brought into the marriage, okay, about what this man must be, what is that, is it people, are they people expectations? And who are you? Are you displaying these biblical qualities of a godly woman? So before you have children, ladies, it's important to ask what you brought to the marriage or what you brought also to parenting. Were you abused as a child? Okay. What was your childhood experience like? Okay. Did you have a good relationship with your parents? Were you afraid of your parents? Because I tell you, if you're abused, sometimes, for instance, if you struggled a lot, okay, when you were children, you didn't have much, the tendency will be to endow your children so that they can be well catered for, even at the expense of what the Bible is calling you to do. If you grew up under strict parents who spanked you for everything, the tendency is for you not to spank your children. Because do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. You need to sit down and ask, what were the shaping influences in my life? Were they biblical? What is that you need to deal with? Some of these things you need to ask for forgiveness, maybe from the Lord. Sometimes you may need to ask, maybe to go to someone, you know, to talk to them, people who are whoever abused you, whatever, in order for you to actually parent correctly. Because you know what? These things show. And sometimes that anger you've been bottling, you know, for all these years, the bitterness, you know where it goes? Into your children. And so, you know what? You can have children who you can yourself abuse as a Christian mother. And it happens, I'm telling you, it happens in Christian homes. So, your shaping influences, you yourself need to be shepherded, that's what I'm saying. This is not a small thing, it's a big thing. God has given you the responsibility to shepherd this child, to introduce him, to help you introduce them to him and live according to how he has determined that they should live. So it's not about your agenda here. It's not about you, whether you feel like it or not, whether you like it or not. It's not about you and what you want. It's about what God wants and what God needs to achieve. Everything must be for his glory. It's not for your glory. So it's not about your embarrassment, making him happen, look good. It's about making God look good. And making God look, making God happy. And so, shepherding yourself, I think this is very important. For me, this is very important. Please, you need to work on yourselves before you can actually shepherd these children, because you can damage them. Okay. Even in Christian homes, I know a lot of people have grown up in Christian homes, but really damaged because of the way that they were parented. And sometimes when you're harsh, without affection, without this love that we're talking about, you know, you may find that whatever you are saying, you chill them. You know, it's like they withdraw. Okay? And you don't have this open relationship. And you'll find that you can't get anything. You can't shepherd children because they can read you. They will resist because you are harsh. You're not displaying the fruit of the Spirit. So it doesn't mean you're going to be like complete better as you are growing older. But even as you are parenting, you can tell, I think there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. I think I'm tending towards maybe anger. And you know what? When you're a godly woman, you're going to see that. Or if your husband is telling you, I think you're going overboard. Sometimes your children can assess you. Okay, I've done that many times. I would see that. I said, okay, so where do you think mommy should improve? And some of the things that mommy does, which is, oh yeah, the children can embarrass you. You know what I'm about? They see things. So if you ask your husband to help you assess you, or even children, they'll be able to tell you, I think and you know what, if you're wise, you'll pay attention and you'll go to your closet, you'll ask God, don't forgive me, but help me. So these things will appear again and again. But as a godly woman, we're not talking about perfection here. No one is perfect. Remember, we have remaining sin. But your call as a parent is that when these things are appearing, these sins of the flesh, okay, before verse 22, that you need to deal with them, asking for forgiveness. You're repenting of them, and you're being sanctified, you know, as it were. Because you want to parent, as God does. And of course, nothing can compete for the absence of tenderness and love in your parenting. And especially as a woman, I think we maybe, I don't know, some men are more tender than some women, depending with personality, but we need to be seen to be tender. And of course, it's dangerous to make them afraid of you. Okay, Ephesians 6, Colossians 3:21, you know, it talks about not making our children angry. Okay, when you're parenting them. Now, you don't want to have children who are afraid of you. They just hear you are there, they run. They need to be running to you when you come. Okay, because you know what? Because they find comfort in you. There's love. Okay? So when you see children running away from you, you need to ask yourself why. Okay? They need to be coming towards you. Secondly, one of the things that you need to do, so the first thing was to work on yourself. The third thing is that you need to train them with an abiding persuasion on your mind that much depends upon you. So as you are parenting them, you need to be conscious that all this parenting depends on you. It's you God is calling to teach these children. Okay? It's not your maid. It's not the teachers. It's not even the pastors. The pastors have got their own job. But the main job of parenting is to parents. It's to fathers and mothers, okay. And sometimes we don't think much about that. And sometimes we just think maybe they just need the gospel, and the gospel will sort them out. After that, they'll become this godly. And I think some children, some people, like, is it last year, this young mother, the children, you know, I think have gotten saved. And then she says, oh, now at least my job is done. And these children are just about 12 years old, maybe 10 years old. I'm telling you, that's when your job has begun. Because now you have what? You have the resources. It will be easy for you now to shepherd. Okay, because these children are now, at least the spirit is working in their lives. You have what it takes now to shepherd them. You know, it's much easier. Okay, than when you're dealing with unconverted children. But it doesn't mean your job has finished. Okay, so this is actually your job. So if you want this thing your goals to be achieved, you need to remember that it's your responsibility, and that on the judgment day, you're going to give an account on how you parented your children, whether you parented them biblically or not. You need to be aware of that. You'll give an account on how you raised these children God has given you to take care of on His behalf. You'll give an account. And it doesn't mean you will do it perfectly. God knows that. But He still asked you, He's asking you to do it in His way. He's given you all the resources. He does that. Even where He puts you in terms of the church, where He puts you, the kind of man perhaps you marry, or even just some friends, usually it's because perhaps you need those kind of resources. The books, so many books there on parenting. God is gracious. He gives you grace. He also provides what you need. But I want us to read Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 6. Let's go there quickly. I want to show you something. Now, if you look at Proverbs, one of the reasons why I love Proverbs is that when you look at, let's just go to this chapter 1. I just want to scan this real quickly. Verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." Verse 10, "My son, if sin has enticed you, do not consent." Okay, let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom." Chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." We go to chapter 4 now. Okay, this is what I want us to read. It says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of the Father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth.'" Okay? Chapter 5. "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding." Okay? And if you go, it keeps on talking about, it's a parent teaching these things. So it's a parent teaching his son about the immoral woman, about work, about not being a surety, about how to speak, about all this. So Proverbs is another book that you can use as a resource to train your children. Okay? It's this father who is teaching his children all these things. Okay? So don't leave another person to teach your children about the immoral woman or sexual purity. You can also teach them. Okay? You can have, yes, other people to help you, but it's your responsibility. About hard work, look at the aunt. Do you remember that story? I think it's in chapter 6. The aunt works hard. Okay? It's your responsibility to teach them hard work. Okay? It's not someone else to do it. And sometimes the tendency is that when you have a child who's not listening, maybe having a problem, you know where you send them? Boarding school. So that the boarding school can teach them. Okay? Yes, they may learn one or two things, but what spiritual impact do they have? What are their views about God? What are their views about morality? Okay. You need to ask those things. So it's your responsibility to teach them doctrine. Yeah, and I'll be going to talk about that later. Okay? What is it that you teach? Okay? And of course, the first thing that you teach them is the Bible. I've already talked about that earlier. You teach, you know, biblical truth. You teach them everything. But according to Proverbs 4, verse 1 to 6, you teach them doctrine. You heard that, isn't it? Doctrine. And you see, if you, and sometimes we think doctrine is only taught by pastors. You, as a woman and as a mother, can teach doctrine, and that's how you need to be learning yourself. Because you cannot teach what you don't know. And one of the burdens for this rally is that hopefully you will teach them your faith. The question is, what is your faith? Okay? We call ourselves Reformed Baptists. Do you understand what the Reformed doctrine is about? Do you understand what the doctrines of grace are all about? Okay, the order of salvation, we call it soteriology. Do you understand all that? Do you understand why we are called Reformed? Do you understand why we emphasize biblical truth? Everything that we do must be according to the Bible. That's who we say we are. Okay? Now, if you don't understand all these things, you can have a child. You as a mother, you're bringing to church. They come out with no understanding whatsoever about the Reformed faith. I've seen that in my eyes. Because you were expecting them to learn the doctrine of grace from the church. So you wonder why this child suddenly just thinking something else. And you're thinking, what happened? You don't know. It's because, you know what? You have not taken the time to teach your children what you believe. Remember Deuteronomy. Okay. You introduce them to this one God. They must love him with the whole of their being. But you also need to teach them who this God is. Because doctrine is about what the Bible teaches about different things. What it teaches about marriage, what it teaches about work, what it teaches about creation, what it teaches about the work of the Spirit, all about salvation. Okay? It's your responsibility to teach all these things. And so it's important that you pay attention to that. You can also add Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, 2 Timothy 3, 16, which you also know. The Bible, the scriptures are sufficient. Okay, for training, for rebuke, for training us in godliness, so that you can create a complete man. You don't need anything else. Okay. And this is where, when you're teaching this, especially even in terms of marriage, yeah, it's very important, because sometimes what happens is, ladies, I want to challenge you, is that when you're bringing, you're training a child for marriage, suddenly the Bible stops to be sufficient. And you're telling me you're in a Reformed Baptist church, you believe the sufficiency of Scripture, but then when it comes to marriage, they must go through this traditional and biblical godless women to teach your children. Shame on you if that's what you're doing. Shame on you, because what that is saying is that right there, you've denied the sufficiency of Scripture. What is it that the Bible cannot teach? And these are some of the things that you need to, even as you're bringing up your children, you need to be asking yourself, at the moment when it's very critical, at the moment when your children really need you to teach them most important things, that's the time when you take them in the hands of godless people. Really? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. Okay, it doesn't. I'm telling you, right then, denied the sufficiency of Scripture. And you've taken and put your faith in something else. The godless, the bowels. Okay? To teach your children. Right there. So you need to be thinking, even when I'm teaching my children, what am I going to use? Is it biblical principles? Even when you're teaching on sex, is it going to be biblical based or traditional based? Right there. You can ask yourself. And you may be unpopular, but you know what? God is going to reward your faithfulness to Scripture. That's what it says, isn't it? Train your children, in the way they should go. Okay, right there. Okay, so these are some of the challenges. Okay, that you, some of the things that you need to be thinking when you're teaching the Bible. And remember, Scripture is sufficient. A lot of us will waver at that point. Okay. We begin to stumble. And of course, secondly, the importance of prayer, because prayer is a secret of spiritual prosperity, should you to learn from the word God. You are praying with them. When something is happening, someone is sick, let's pray. When they are going through difficulties at school, what's wrong, and I'm struggling, let's pray. Because what you're doing, you are showing them this one true God, who is all sufficient. Okay, he's self-sustaining. We are limited, okay, in our being, but he is not. And everything we need must come from him. And so when you're saying, let's pray, you're telling them, look, I don't have the answers. Okay? But only this one God. So let's pray and ask him, you know, to give us these things. And so you can also read Psalm 5, verse 3, which talks about waking up early in the morning, you know, to pray. Because that is one of the things, you are conscious of the fact that you've woken up, and in order for you to go through your day or your life, you need God. Okay? And you recommend that remedy to, you know, to him, to them. And you are also looking at James chapter 4, verse 2, which talks about the fact that we have not because we do not ask. When children begin to see prayer at work, where you can just say, let's pray, you go to prayer, and they can tell this is the true answer from God because we prayed and he gives us exactly what we need. Okay, they need to see that faith from you, okay? Not where there's a problem, you are running elsewhere, or you can be praying for success. If what you need is perhaps money, you are saying, Lord, bless my business so that I can have whatever I need. It's God who must bless it. Okay. And if it's God blessing it, even when it's COVID times, because he knows what you need, he's going to bring something, a bread from somewhere to bring bread. You've seen God do that, isn't it? Yes. It's faith. Okay, having faith in this one true God who alone has answers. And then, of course, the importance of the public means of grace. This word, you know, public means of grace means prayer, bringing them to church, telling them about the duty, their duty and privilege of going to the house of God. Tell them that where God's people are, that's where Jesus' presence is in a special way. It's not praying at home alone, but where God's people are gathered. That's what the Bible tells us, isn't it? Yeah, that's what we must believe. His special presence is among God's people. It's not when you are on your own. And don't allow them to grow up in the habit of making vain excuses for not coming with you to church. If you have introduced them to God, they can sure, even when they are not converted, they will understand that this is important because of the importance that you also place. And when you're in church, because this is important to you, sit with them in church for parental guidance. There's nothing like, no, it's church, children are somewhere, they're making noise. You know what I'm talking about? There's no concentration. And for you with babies, it's time for church. That's not the time to give your children crisps. Okay, it's time for preaching. You know what you're teaching your children? This is not important. So during the time now, God's word is speaking, when I'm supposed to be introduced to God, that's when I'm supposed to be napping. That's when I'm supposed to be eating, drinking, and things like that. So do you think of focus and think that this is important? No, you've taken away the importance of the public means of grace right there by yourself. So that's a time to say, no, you can't eat now. Or eat before, because during preaching, during service, there's no eating. Can a child die within 1 hour? Really? They can't. Okay? They can't die within that 1 hour God giving them. Okay? So plan. We're going to church now, eat or before the service, or rise up early and make sure that they're seeing that you're placing importance to these means of grace. Children watch you, okay? And sit down, they must follow the sermon, parent in the pews, okay? They need to learn to sit still when God is speaking. And I can tell you, a 3-year-old, well taught, can sit still when you instill this importance of the means of grace. Okay, so it's your responsibility to make sure that these things are happening. Now, I want to give you some evidence of why you need to come with your children to church, both morning and evening service. So it doesn't mean morning service is for your whole family. Evening service is for mother and daddy. the children remain at home. Who said that? Do you have any biblical ground for that? There's nothing.
Okay,
let's look at, let's just look at Exodus 10, verse 9, and we'll look at Joshua 8, 39. These are just your, just to show you. Okay, we'll begin with the Exodus 10, 9 scripture. So, this is Moses now. Listen, he's telling Pharaoh, we need to go. Okay, release us, we need to go, okay? And then one of the things, so I'll begin from verse 8, it says, so Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go, serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones? And then he's asking, who are the ones who are going? So Pharaoh is asking, who are the ones who are going? I think he was hoping that maybe Moses would say, just the all of the people. Okay, now listen to Moses' answer. In verse 9, it says, and Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold the feast to the Lord. For Moses, everyone, the children as well. Okay? Let's look at Joshua. Okay, so Joshua 8, verse 35. So there it reads, this is about now Joshua taking over from Moses, and then the tribe says, there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. So this is for everyone. It's not like just for big people, and especially if you want to introduce them to your God. The moment you begin to say, evening service is not for you, you know what you're saying? There will be no proper introduction. You're not introducing them, you know, to this God. It's like this God is for big people, not for you. And do you think when he grows older, he would attach importance to the means of grace? No. And especially when if they don't get converted, they'll find an excuse.
Okay.
When you are not there or they go elsewhere, they won't be in the church because they were never trained. They didn't have the habit, okay, to appreciate the means of grace. So sit with them and set it before their minds as a high, holy, and solemn duty. And they'll bless you for your deed when they grow up. Because you know what? They will have developed this habit of attending the means of grace. Even when you're not there, you know, they just continue. And of course, you need to teach them that God has put you in charge to exercise authority and shepherding over them. It's you, God has said, teach these children. So even when they're challenging you, but you know, they're not going to say, but you must listen to mommy. Do you know where your rationale is going to come from? God is the one who has asked me to train you up, okay, in his way. God is the one who has taught me to introduce you to this God. You can even read this Deuteronomy text to them. Give them the biblical rationale. And you know, when your children understand that whatever you're doing is not your own doing, even when you're telling them, when they break the law, you're spanking them, they're not going to hold it against you. You will have no parental child infringement of relationship. Okay? They will be conscious of the fact that you're doing it on God's behalf. And make it very clear from the word go. Okay? In this room, we do it God's way. And God's way is this. And they need to see consistency in you as you are showing that shepherding. And that is, we've already looked at those scriptures. And the next thing that you need to, you know, emphasize is, and train them, is to train them in the habit of obedience. Now, I'm going to talk about specific things that I'm going to be paying attention to, because I think that these are very basic things. Okay? One of them is obedience, and there's no habit, okay? No habit has such an influence over our lives as obedience. Okay.
Now, if you, hopefully some of you have read Shepherding a Child's Heart, and, you know, Tate Tripp and Maggie Tripp also instructing your child's, you know, heart, they focus a lot on shepherding the heart. And of course, talking a lot about obedience, but obedience is very important because, you know, sin is disobedience of God's word. And sin in the Garden of Eden started with disobedience, isn't it? God says, do not eat, and then you eat. So it's a basic thing. Okay? And a child from the red wall, his bias is towards disobedience. Because they have sin. Sin leads to disobedience. That's how come it's your job, your friend, is not you teaching them sinful things. Your job is to do the other way, to teach them the right things. Because they already have that. So what you're trying to do is to teach them obedience. And you need to determine to make your children obey you, though it may cost you much trouble and cost them many tears. Yeah. Disobey, you spank, you talk, they'll cry. But you need to get it right. You need to get it right from the beginning. Okay? And I'm going to explain why. And there must be no questioning when you are instructing your children to obey you. Can you do this? There must be no questioning, no reasoning, no disputing. Now, I know as they grow older, they can maybe make it. Maybe I'm doing something else. Can I do it after I've done that? But when they are little, okay, there must be no questioning, disputing,